Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
This is America on the Road, named Best Radio Show by the International Automotive Media Conference, and now in its 31st year on the air. Thanks for being with us as we bring you the latest automotive information from around the world. I'm Jack Nerad. With me is co-host Chris Teague. Chris, as always, it is terrific to be with you, and you had a strange occurrence this past week, an earthquake. Have you bounced back from that?
Oh, yeah, we bounced back immediately. It was quite a shock, but ultimately very minor. So very minor compared to the things that you guys feel over on your side of the world.
Yeah, we've been having some very bad stuff on our side of the world lately, but I think maybe we're coming out of that. Let's talk about what we're going to cover in this week's show, because there's news of great interest, of course. Big time news, really. The new administration, it looks like it's going to roll back the proposed fuel economy requirements for new vehicles, and that's going to have very far-reaching effects on what you can buy and not buy going forward, so we'll have the details on that. The proposed merger of Honda and Nissan has run into a roadblock, and we'll tell you which company is balking at the move and why coming up. You might be surprised by what company that is. Cadillac has introduced its first battery electric V-Performance model, and we'll have all the details on that. Pretty amazing. I'm still wondering who's going to buy all these performance SUVs, but I guess it's me. Honda and Acura have announced a recall of a large SUV or a bunch of large SUVs, so we'll talk about that. Plenty to talk about, right, Chris?
Yeah, there always is, although there seems to be quite a bit lately.
Exactly, more than usual. America on the Road is brought to you by DrivingToday.com, EMLancey.com, the publisher of my latest book, Dance in the Dark, and Mercury Insurance. If you're looking to save some money, you should switch to Mercury for your auto and home insurance. Californians save an average of $670 with Mercury. So imagine how much you could save. Get a quote today at DrivingToday.com/auto insurance. That's DrivingToday.com/auto-insurance. Well, as you longtime listeners of the show know, Chris lives at one end of the country. I live at the other. Each week we get together to talk about how bad the weather is where Chris is and how nice it is where I am. And we also talk about cars. Chris, what car are you going to talk about this week?
I spent the week in the 2025 Chevrolet Traverse Z71. It's an all-new model for this year, and I can't wait to tell you all about it.
Seems perfect for you there in Maine. I was driving the 2025 Toyota 4Runner in TRD off-road premium form, so very, very cool vehicle. We have a terrific guest for you this week. Allison Ram is chief engineer on the all-new Jeep Wagoneer S, the brand's first battery electric vehicle. She will have chapter and verse on that vehicle. I drove it, and we talked at great length about it, so pretty cool stuff. We have a ton of show for you this week, so stay with us, and we'll be right back right here on America on the Road.
Members, it's here. Milo's Rewards Week deals for members only are up for grabs. You name it, we've got it for less. Get up to 40% off store-wide on hundreds of items, including select bath, tools, paint, and more. So what are you waiting for? Join for free today and get instant access to Milo's Rewards Week deals. Lowe's knows home improvement. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
The Columbia Interchange System was revolutionary when it was designed over 40 years ago, and it's still breaking ground to this day, featuring 3-in-1 jackets that adapt to fluctuating weather patterns to keep you warm, dry, and protected no matter what. Whatever the weather, Interchange is there. Shop Interchange jackets and more at Columbia.com.
Hi, this is Marty Terrell, Sports Overnight America. Check out our app. It's in the Apple Store right now under Sports Overnight America. Download and enjoy scores, interviews, highlights, all the podcasts. The weekend edition, Saturday night, 7 to 10 Eastern time. And weekend replays, 24-7. You can listen to Sports Byline USA, NFL, NBA, NHL, hockey, English Premier League. Presented by American Premium Vodka. Enjoy responsibly.
Now at Staples, find hot deals on HP, America's most trusted printer brand. Whether you need to print invoices or eye-catching presentations, HP delivers with exceptional speed, reliability, and vibrant color. And with HP, replenishing ink is simple. Find HP ink cartridges in-store at Staples or subscribe to HP Instant Ink and never worry about running out. And right now with home and office hot deals at Staples, you can save up to $150 on select HP printers through February 1st.
Iowa EPS Products was founded in 1980 on the premise of providing the highest quality EPS products and services in the industry. Being family-owned and operated, relationships and loyalty remain the foundation on which this company was built, providing expanded polystyrene products for commercial roofing and exterior wall insulation, as well as package products and below-grade lightweight geoform fill. Iowa EPS Products is the trusted source throughout the Midwest. Learn more at iowaepsproducts.com.
With Progressive's Name Your Price tool, you get coverage options based on how much you want to pay for car insurance. And then you decide how to spend the rest of your money, because you're in charge. And right now, you're going to pay for groceries. But you decide what groceries. Just keep in mind you're running out of dishwashing soap. But you decide if you're going to buy that soap. It's just those dishes won't clean themselves, will they? Remember, with Progressive's Name Your Price tool, we'll help you find coverage at a fair price. And then, you're in charge. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road with Christy Jackney-Rad back with you. And it is news time here on America on the Road. I almost forgot what segment we were doing, Chris. We're barely into the show, and I'm forgetting what we're doing here. But it is news time, and a lot of interesting news. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration has been directed by the new U.S. Transportation Secretary, who's a guy named Sean Duffy, to reset the corporate average fuel economy requirements, or at least look at that going forward. And that's a big change. Automakers are subject to very stringent fuel efficiency requirements and getting more stringent every year, and maybe that will change. I think the goal was to raise fuel efficiency of light-duty vehicles to 50.4 miles per gallon by 2031, which is not too long over the horizon, and pickups and vans, even more stringent requirements for them. It'll be interesting to see what happens with these regulations, whether they actually are changed. I mean, your take on this, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, it's not surprising. This is something that was promised on the campaign trail. So I think, you know, we saw this coming. Look, I think automakers are probably going to keep doing what they've been doing. I mean, they've been moving in this direction for quite some time. I will say that we could see another Hellcat coming out sometime soon. Now, I think that may be a product of this. But, you know, look, I mean, some of these standards are very stringent, even though they save gas for consumers and emissions and whatnot. They were going to be tough to hit either way.
Yeah, I think even getting to 40 miles per gallon as an overall average among these vehicles, given, the consumer's desire to buy large vehicles and particularly large SUVs, I mean, three-row SUVs, and large two-row SUVs, and with gas power. I'm wondering, Chris, and I asked this question in a conference call I had with some folks in the industry recently. I wonder if we're at peak EV right now. I mean, this could change the trajectory very, very significantly, couldn't it?
It could. You know, this coupled with what could possibly be the discontinuation of federal tax credits for EVs, you know, I mean, these are things that have pushed the market to make more models and offered these vehicles to people. I think, you know, the rollback of some of these emission standards, if it happens, coupled with what could be the loss of the federal tax credit, may change the market considerably. You know, there's an argument to be made that neither of those things need to exist, I guess, or should exist in the business sense. in the business ecosystem, but it'll be interesting to see. I'm not sure if we're at peak EV, Jack, but we might see some bumps, even bumpier than we've seen already.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's the prediction maybe that we're going to see EVs level off at somewhere where they are about now, which is about 8% of the market, maybe a little bit over 8%. I think that's what they were in 2024 for the full year. In fact, there might be a smaller market share for EVs in 2025. We'll have to see. And that's even more likely if we see incentives go away, which also seems like it's probably over the horizon. This also sets up a battle between the state in which I live, California, and the federal government. California has set up its own fuel economy and emission standards and basically is outlawing or has banned the sale of gasoline-only vehicles at 2035 and beyond. I think that's going to be a big court case to figure out whether that's going to go forward. It's interesting what this state is doing versus what the feds are doing. And certainly that's the worst nightmare for car manufacturers is to have various regulations across various states. I mean, they love a national standard and they just want to understand what the rules are, I think.
Yeah, that's why most states, including mine, follow California's standards in some of these ways. And automakers tend to do the same because there are just so many people there buying cars.
Yeah, I think there's something like 8 or 9 states that actually follow California, and the rest go along with the feds. But they're pretty big states. I think New York is among them as well as your home state. So we'll have to see what happens going forward. I predict we're going to have a reasonable rollback or some kind of rollback of these fuel economy requirements, but there will still be fuel economy requirements. And what that means for you as a consumer is you probably have more choice of larger vehicles, because going forward, we were probably going to see big 3-row vehicles like the Chevy Tahoe and Suburban go away or have to be all electric. And, you know, that wouldn't suit too many people all that well.
There's really no way to achieve the fuel economy standards with a gas engine in those vehicles. You're absolutely correct.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about this proposed merger between Honda and Nissan, which is a fascinating thing. And it's run into a snag. And there is a car company that is kind of throwing up its hands and saying, hey, I'm not so fast. And it's neither Nissan nor Honda. It's actually Mitsubishi, which is partnered with Nissan. They're thinking, wow, if we have little enough say as it is, just as our joint with Nissan, if we become part of an even bigger company, we'll have even less say in the whole thing. And I think there's a lot of questions about whether this goes forward. But my basic guess is, and as a guy who has worked for Japanese companies in the past, that this is being pushed by the Japanese government, and they're trying to avoid a takeover of Nissan by a foreign company.
Yeah, and you know, for Mitsubishi, they've got their rebuilding plans ahead of them. They've got a new hybrid or a new plug-in hybrid electric coming out, and they've been very much as on the back burner in this the automotive alliance between Nissan, Renault, and itself. So I can see why they wouldn't want to be under another umbrella that put them in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, the Japanese really resist foreign ownership of their car companies. They kind of like to keep it within the country itself. I mean, there was a time when Ford Motor Company was looking to acquire Mazda, and they ran into a roadblock there. And I think in Korea, similar things happen. There was a time when I think Ford was going to buy Kia, and that didn't happen either. So we'll have to see what happens going forward. Interesting stuff. Another thing that's very interesting to me is this 2026 Cadillac Lyriq V, the first all-electric V-series vehicle, super high performance, and coming from a battery electric vehicle, 615 horsepower, 650 pound-feet of torque, a 0-60 time of 3.3 seconds. I don't know about you, Chris. I'm wondering who buys this area. You know, who do they think is going to buy these kind of performance SUVs?
Yeah, I was just going to say, do we really need a performance Lyriq at this point in time? I mean, yeah, we've got the Hyundai Ioniq 5N, which surprisingly costs about the same as the Cadillac does. But ultimately, I think this could end up being just like an AMG thing for a lot of people. Like, they just want the most expensive or the best Cadillac that you can buy if they're buying an electric vehicle. I mean, I think it looks cool. Like you said, I don't see who this is for.
Yeah, I mean, I would say putting more effort into getting longer range and less effort into really low 0 to 60 times is the way to go with these things. I mean, this will have, according to Cadillac, 285 miles of range. I just don't think that's enough, really. I mean, if you're going to do some cross-country driving in this thing, which I think is what a Lyriq would be really good at, if it had enough range, nice and fast, but at the same time, extremely comfortable, quiet, and smooth. But, you know, I don't understand this. And in a larger sense, I don't understand where Cadillac is going, trying to become a performance brand, because I don't think people look at Cadillac as being a performance brand.
Well, I mean, they've had a couple of really great performance cars, that's for sure. You know, but I think in terms of the Lyriq itself, you know, it's a luxury vehicle. And the standard model, the all-wheel drive version, is plenty quick on its own. I mean, I think the typical Cadillac buyer, you know, even the performance buyer is going to get just as much their speed thrills out of the standard model as they would with a V without paying more and getting less range. But we'll see.
Yeah, I look forward to driving it, and we'll see what happens then. Honda is recalling, Honda and Acura recalling almost 300,000 vehicles to fix a fuel injection issue that could force them to stall just out of the blue. The Acura MDX Type S, the Honda Pilot, and the Acura TLX Type S vehicles are basically being recalled, a lot of them, for fairly recent model years. Remind us again about the road test vehicle you have this week, because we're coming back with that.
Yes, I have the 2025 Chevrolet Traverse Z71.
Off-road oriented vehicle there. And I had an off-road vehicle oriented too. In fact, off-road is in its name. It is the Toyota 4Runner TRD off-road premium version. So I had a chance to drive that courtesy of Toyota recently. So stay with us for those road tests, and we'll be right back right here on America on the Road.
Do you want to add a boost to your sex life this weekend? Do you want to make your partner and yourself happy? Then call our special hotline now. We'll sell you those little pills that work below the belt for less than $1 a pill and deliver your package in a few days, just in time for the weekend. Our pill delivers almost the same results as expensive pills for less than $1 a piece, and you don't need a prescription. And ask about their buy three, get three free offer. What are you waiting for? Boost your sex life and have a great time now. Less than $1 a pill, discreet delivery in a few days, and a buy three, get three free offer? Dial this number and save it now.
800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. That's 800-229-8627. Paid for by the pharmacy shop.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number, and I promise you we're here waiting for your call, because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way, way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC Rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra-high quality, ultra-reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair, when you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Welcome back to America on the Road with Chris Teague. This is Jack Nerad back with you for road test time. And we have some very cool vehicles, some off-road oriented manly vehicles for you this time around. Pretty cool stuff. We're so glad you're with us on America on the Road. And if you like our show, please pass it along to a friend of yours, somebody who likes cars as well and might like the show. We would really appreciate that. That would be terrific. You can pass along a podcast, among other things, or tell them where you hear America on the Road and when. We would appreciate that. But I would appreciate hearing about your road test vehicle, Chris. It seems like a perfect vehicle for your time of year there.
Yeah, I don't know if calling it a manly vehicle is exactly what I would, the title I would attach to it, but it is a little beefier than the regular model. It's a 2025 Chevrolet Traverse Z71. Chevy redesigned the Traverse in 2024, and then the Z71 came along this year. Have you driven the new three-row, Jack?
I think I drove it briefly, probably at North American Car of the Year or something like that. I have not spent a lot of time in it, so
okay. Why? It's Chevy's second largest SUV. The Suburban is the biggest one there. You can get into it for around $42,000. That's for a front-wheel drive model with a bench seat. But mine was a little bit over $54,000 with options. And then you can spend upwards of like $60,000 if you go for the top trim with all the good stuff. It's turbocharged four-cylinder power only in this next-generation model. It's 328 horsepower, 326 pound-feet of torque. Eight-speed automatic transmission, and my version came with all-wheel drive. Jack, the engine sounds a little bit rough, but I can't fault it for not having enough power because it feels just fine around town. I did not do any off-roading in this vehicle, which I suspect almost no one will, even if they have the Z71 package, which is a shame because it does come with some cool stuff, which I'll get to in a minute. But, you know, I think there's plenty of power in the four-cylinder. And as we talked about in the last segment, you know, this is a result of some of the emission standards and the changes that we've seen. But who knows, maybe we'll get the V6 back soon. The Z71, as I said, was new for 2025. Its all-wheel drive system is upgraded. Chevy changed the clutches, made it a little bit more rugged. It's got an off-road suspension system, all-terrain tires, skid plate, and tow hooks. Now, these things all look great on paper, but as I said, Jack, I can't imagine that I would want to do any serious off-roading in a Chevy Traverse. What do you think?
Yeah, I think maybe it's all for looks or all for show, really. I mean, like you, I think there's other choices, including the vehicle I'm going to road test it, you know, at the tail end of this segment, that are probably much more apropos for that. And I appreciate Chevy giving it the old college try here, but I'm with you. I think I'm scratching my head a little bit over this one.
Yeah, you know, I think driving to a campsite or, you know, light off-roading, like trail driving, this thing would be perfect. It's very comfortable on the road. Those all-terrain tires don't make it feel like a truck because it's not a body-on-frame pickup or SUV. So, I mean, overall, it's very comfortable to ride quality and very capable from a powertrain standpoint. But again, I think the off-road thing is a little bit overdone here. Cloth comes standard inside. My tester had what is called the synthetic leather package, if I can say that, all the way through. They call it Syntex. It's just kind of like a vinyl hybrid material. It's very nice. It feels just like leather. Heated and ventilated seats came with that package. And you get 7-passenger seating with the Z71, which has second row captain's chairs that I really enjoy having. The front buckets, they're very nice. They're very wide, very supportive, nicely padded. And as I mentioned, you get heating and ventilation there. And the front cabin is very ergonomic. You know, there's a large display screen. Everything is oriented towards the driver. And you've got every control right very close at hand, so it's easy to reach and you don't have to go searching around for it. The second row bucket seats, they are captain's chairs. They are also heated in this version. Plenty of room, and then you get a pass through to the third row seat, which I appreciate. My kids are a little bit out of the conflict stages that they had when they were younger, so I don't really need that extra real estate between them to prevent, you know, fist fights, which never happened anyway. But it is nice to have a pass through to the third row. I said, as I mentioned, you get a large touchscreen. It's 17.7 inches, which is new with the new generation Traverse. It's got Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, unlike GM's electric vehicles, which use a very similar system, and Google built-in, which so you get Play Store features, Google Maps, Google Assistant, and the works there. So it's a very feature-rich system. We've talked about this before. I like the way Chevy and General Motors in general do their infotainment. There's not a lot of hunting and pecking for the menu that you want to find or for the feature that you want to, or the setting that you want to change. So I'm very appreciative of the layout there. You get an 11-inch digital gauge cluster, wireless charging, Wi-Fi, and the whole tech package here for this price tag. Chevy also equips more safety equipment here. You get blind spot monitoring, rear cross traffic alerts, and a load there too, though the Traverse missed out on a top safety pick. Jack, I think if I were going for this vehicle, and I do appreciate its comfort and interior space, I would opt for a road-going trim and spend maybe, I don't know, $8,000 less on it. But otherwise, I have had a good week in the Traverse.
Yeah, sounds good. I just don't know that the Z71 is the proper level for this one, but I think we're in agreement there, as we frequently are, Chris. You know. Well, I was driving a vehicle that's very much anticipated. It's a new gen. I bet Chris Teague very much anticipates this one, being the Toyota fan that you are. It is a new generation of the Toyota 4Runner. And, you know, we see all these off-road-oriented vehicles come to market these days, but very few of them have the kind of reputation that the 4Runner has built over what I think is now a sixth generation. I think this is the new one is the sixth generation. Yes, it is the new sixth generation. So new trims this time around. There's a Trail Hunter trim that is for overlanding and a Platinum trim that is very high lux. I was driving neither of those. I was driving kind of a mid-level trim that specialized in off-road called the TRD Off-Road for Toyota Racing Development Off-Road. They all ride on the same chassis, of course, which is the Toyota TNGAF Global platform that supports a bunch of other vehicles, including the Tundra, Tacoma, Land Cruiser, a bunch of things like that, separate body on frame kind of thing, very, very, very stout. And now the 4Runner is available in 9 trim levels. I won't even go through all of them, but there are a ton of them. I think the one I was driving was a pretty good one in terms of overall value. A couple powertrains, and I'll get into that in a little bit, but they range in price from a low of about $41,000 to well over $65,000. And during this Toyota-sponsored event, I drove one with the hybrid powertrain, which very mild hybrid kind of thing with an electric motor in the driveline. Price as tested for the vehicle I had, which was the 4Runner TRD Off-Road Premium, was $59,420. So, yeah, 60K. When I first got into it, I felt immediately at home. A nice synthetic leather driver's seat that adjusted very well. Very understandable dash and control area. This has kind of meaty controls, big controls. I think you can use adjust them with gloves on, that kind of thing. So that's very good. It took some effort to get in. It has a lot of ground clearance, so it's a climb up into this thing. If you bought running boards or rub rails, that might make that easier. The test vehicle I had didn't have those. It had just a very minimum kind of bunch of options, but very, very nice inside. As I mentioned, this has the hybrid powertrain, which consists of a turbocharged 2.4-liter four-cylinder engine, along with this electric motor in the drive line, 326 horsepower, 465 pound-feet of torque, 8-speed automatic transmission, and you know, with the electric motor involved in the driveline, this is super smooth, almost turbine-like. What's your overall reaction to the new powertrains in the 4Runner, Chris?
I think it goes a long way to improving on the outgoing model, right? I mean, the V6 and I think it was a 5-speed or a 6-speed transmission that it had were starting to feel really rough around the edges.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you get a little bit better torque, you get better acceleration, and you get a legitimately modern transmission with it. So I'm on board.
It also has driving modes, of course. I mean, you wouldn't be an off-roader these days, a modern off-roader, without various driving modes that adjust power delivery, suspension settings, steering, all that kind of stuff. What I found in doing a lot of off-roading and on-roading during this event was that if you put it in auto, the vehicle would figure it out just fine, and there was never any major issue. This certainly has all-terrain tires, 33-inch all-terrain tires on 18-inch wheels, so there's a big sidewall there, as you can tell, which really works off-road. What is interesting is on-road, it didn't feel squirmy or weird, you know, and it wasn't noisy either, so I like that. Brakes were more than up to the task, so good stuff. On the trail, you know, this is just a very, very good vehicle. I mean, climbed very daunting grades. If I showed the pictures of it, it's like, okay, climb this wall, go across this boulder field. The only thing we didn't do, I think, was ford streams. So I don't know the fording ability of this versus things like the Jeep and the Bronco. But just a lot to like about this vehicle. And inside, very comfortable. Heated leather trim steering wheel, power adjustable seats that were heated and ventilated. You can use the mirror. You can immediately figure out the mirror controls and things like that, seat adjustments. No learning curve. They're not in the infotainment system, so I'm very much in favor of that. It's got a 60-40 split folding second row bench seat. There are some models, very few of them actually, a couple trims have a third row with a 50-50 split folding seat back there. It's just a good all-around vehicle. It's a nice size. They didn't make it much bigger. I mean, I think this is just it's an evolution, but it's kind of a home run evolution of this vehicle.
Yeah, that may be the GR Corolla's replacement in the future. I'm going to make it my goal to hold on to the Corolla for at least 3 years. But yeah, I think, as I said, Toyota's addressed some of the weaknesses the outgoing model had, and I like the styling of the new one, so I can't wait to drive it.
Yeah, plenty of tech, plenty of safety equipment. So all around, I think a big winner. And we will have its chief engineer on a future show to talk about it a little bit more. But when we come back, we will have a terrific guest for you. Is the chief engineer on the all-new Jeep Wagoneer S, the brand's first all-electric vehicle. So stay with us for that, and we'll be right back right here on America on the Road.
Flex Premium Athleisure is softness that plays hard. From the couch to the gym to the office and beyond, Flex gives you premium comfort and style that keeps up with anything without costing everything. Whether you're chasing the ball or chasing the kids, life's a workout. Flex with it. Exclusively at Kohl's. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
All aboard!
There's a new way to travel, and it's one of the oldest forms of transportation. Travel by train. Yes, consider traveling around the United States on Amtrak. Traveling by train is a lot less of a headache than taking a plane, and you'd be surprised how many places you can go on an Amtrak, and there's no passports or IDs needed. Find out how to get where you're going as soon as tomorrow by train. Call the Amtrak Travel Hotline right now. We'll book your trip and email your tickets within minutes. Skip the drive to the airport and skip the lines. Call right now to book your Amtrak reservations. We service most of the United States.
All aboard!
Do something new. Travel by Amtrak today.
800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. That's 800-262-3903.
The Columbia Interchange System was revolutionary when it was designed over 40 years ago, and it's still breaking ground to this day. Featuring 3-in-1 jackets that adapt to fluctuating weather patterns to keep you warm, dry, and protected no matter what. Whatever the weather, Interchange is there. Shop Interchange jackets and more at Columbia.com.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road. Jack Nierad back with you. And we're in the company of the chief engineer of the vehicle we're driving today. That's one of the more fascinating vehicles I have driven in a long time. It is the Jeep Wagoneer S, first battery electric vehicle from Jeep, available globally. And with us is the chief engineer, Allison Ram. Thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me today, and thank you for participating and sharing in the joy of the Wagoneer.
It's kind of a joyful day, isn't it? I mean, an interesting day to have what is not just another vehicle, but really a landmark vehicle. And I think even in the presentation, we're almost emotional, I think, are definitely emotionally involved in this vehicle. Tell us a bit about that whole thing and when you learned that you were in charge of this project.
Well, when I got tapped to take on the electrification of the D segment, obviously starting with the Wagoneer S, the first thought was reflection and the humility that takes over, because it's a Jeep. It's a Jeep, and it's been part of the evolution of moving into electrification, which is important on so many levels. But I assume everybody is a consumer, like I'm a consumer, and you want to drive a car that is still familiar, that still responds the way you expect. You want, when your door closes, that it sounds solid and sounds secure. And just because you move into electrification doesn't mean you're giving any of that up. And the fact that it is a Jeep, and what Jeep has built in terms of tradition over decades, That was the weight of the world, and to make sure that that's really what we were delivering on. And I got advice when I first started that said, think about this moment right here today, when you're talking to the journalists about the labor of love that we just created, what do you want to be able to say? And then I used that as my guiding force in developing the car. And truly, it was about bringing in electrification, but doing it in a way that is familiar. To me, familiar equals secure, which equals confidence. Yeah. And when you get in a car, you want to feel confident. And so every decision over the last 4 years has been about doing electrification the right way, but balancing that with a really great car.
Yeah, I want to dive into that a little deeper, but before we do that, give our listeners a sense of what this vehicle is, how big it is, how many people it seats, you know, just kind of the basics of this vehicle.
So it's a D-segment SUV.
That means nothing to most of our listeners. It's a mid-size SUV, is it? Right.
Sometimes I forget.
Right.
So it's a mid-size SUV.
Right.
Fully electric. So it's got 100 kilowatt hours of battery. So the battery is under the vehicle. Takes up between the wheel wells and fore aft. I mean, it's very large. And it comes with two electric drive motors. That's what replaces the internal combustion engine. There's one in the front, one in the back. But it is a...
Hence, all-wheel drive based on that.
It is predominantly all-wheel drive. Now, we do have wheel end disconnect. So what that does is, in the front, when the conditions don't need it, it will disconnect those front wheels, which will improve range, but its default position is all-wheel drive. So you get everything that a Jeep is. You feel the security and the confidence, but we have the technology that we look at multiple factors and we disengage. Mm-hmm. It is a premium vehicle. So when you get into it, it seats five. It's a midsize DUV. But you get a lot of the premium features. You get active driving assist. You've got standard dual pane sunroof. I mean, it's meant to feel luxurious when you are getting in and going for your driving experience.
Yeah.
In addition to being super quick.
Yeah, well, tell us about that, and tell us about horsepower, because the horsepower and torque figures are mind-boggling, and I think when you drive the vehicle, it's even beyond that, right?
It's so with the two electric drive motors, both with 250 kilowatts, You think about the fact that that replaces one standard internal combustion engine. So now you got two, one front and rear, 600 horsepower, which used to be reserved for, you know, the super high-end performance cars.
Yeah.
Again, back in the day, I worked
Lamborghinis, Ferraris, yeah, those kind of things, right?
And so not only is it a lot of horsepower equivalency, but with electrification, it's instantaneous torque. So there isn't even the slightest little bit of lag. and you step on the gas and you go, and it pulls you to the back of the seat. It's a little bit shocking sometimes, but again, it makes it fun. I mean, if you're gonna get an electric car, have fun, enjoy it.
Right.
You want to enjoy the experience. It should be emotional. I truly believe people should be passionate about their car, but it also, when you have that kind of performance, then it just adds to, again, your level of confidence when you're merging onto a highway, when you need to be able to get out of a certain condition, and just knowing that you have all the power you need in the right distribution, front and rear,
right,
to go wherever you need to.
You know, I think that amount of horsepower might be daunting to some people. Like, do I need 600 horsepower? Can I even handle 600 horsepower? But I think one of the fascinating things I found driving the vehicle today was it doesn't have to feel like a 600 horsepower romping, stomping, fire-breathing machine. It can perform like one, but it doesn't feel like one, right?
It can be tamed. And again, I go back to, I anchored myself in, I assume everybody is a consumer like I am a consumer. I have two teenage boys that are going to be in the Jeep. I need to know that it's controllable, that it's something with that kind of horsepower won't get away from them, that it can still be a very domesticated ride.
Yeah. One of the things that really resonated with me in your presentation earlier today was about controls and about the people being comfortable with their vehicles. It's something we talk a lot about on America on the Road. And I don't think I'm a Luddite, but at the same time, I kind of like discrete controls and knowing how stuff works and this works this and this doesn't. Talk about that, because that seems important to you.
It's important for a couple of reasons. One, as I'd mentioned this morning, part of my role is I drive a lot of competitive cars, and it scares me when I get into a car and I can't figure out how to turn the headlamps on, or I can't turn out on the wipers while I'm out driving. I mean, that again goes back to not feeling secure. And when you're driving a car, that's the number one thing. You need to feel secure. You need to feel confident. People want to know where their controls are. They want them to be traditional in how they operate. They need to have discrete switches. They need to know where they are and that they behave the way they expect them to. Otherwise, they're not going to enjoy the experience of the electric car. If you're so focused on trying to figure out how to make the basics work, you're missing the joy. And I don't want anyone to miss the joy
of this
car.
Well, it's interesting to me. You know, you said, I'm an automotive engineer, and I can't figure out how this stuff works. And I say to myself, I'm an auto journalist for 40 years, and I don't know how this stuff works. So if we don't know how it works, I think the average civilian is going to have difficulty too. And so you wanted to avoid that, right?
It was one of my key pillars when designing the car and the decisions we made. I want people to enjoy the car, not focusing on how to make it work.
Give us some specifics about how that manifested itself in this vehicle. What did you do?
Okay, so a couple of things. Talked a little bit this morning about the wireless charger. The wireless charger, different locations in a lot of different cars, how it works. We wanted to put it somewhere very simple, very accessible, very visible, and that it would just be easy. So that was one that we spent a significant amount of time on. I did talk this morning about the steering wheel. We had a traditional steering wheel. I say traditional, flat bottom, so a little bit sporty. Matched the 600
horsepower.
But mostly
round.
But when we got in the car, it clipped the beautiful cluster that we've put in. And that is so important when you're driving the car. You need to be able to see. You need to be able to see no matter where you're sitting, where you've got the steering wheel. And so we changed it. We went flat bottom at the top. We called it the squircle because it was a square circle. Again, a bit unconventional, but I need people to see. You got to see your cluster.
Yeah, a little retro in a way. I mean, there were wheels like that in the 50s, and it made a lot of sense then. Still makes sense now.
So just a few examples of the thought that went into every element of the car. We had bucks built long before we were even building cars. We had bucks built that we just sat in and touched and felt and made sure everything was within reach and it operated the way it was expected. And then when we did the electronic controls, they would behave the way expected.
Right.
Super important to us.
A lot of screens in this vehicle, right?
There are screens.
And that can be great, but it can also provide a lot of complication to people. Walk us through the screens and what's going on there.
With the screens, we wanted to give the flexibility. The lower comfort screen that has the HVAC controls, it can still...
Heating, ventilation, and air conditioning controls.
So, yes, thank you for that. It can be stowed out of the way. So if you just want to enjoy the storage, you want to put anything up there, it can be stowed so it's not a distraction. So that leaves the cluster and the radio screen very traditional, has the information that you need. And then the digital rear view mirror, again, is a choice. It's a simple flip as you touch it. Some people love a digital rearview mirror. Some people have
Who
a real aversion.
What are they doing?
So I know that it's polarizing, and so it needs to be quickly and easily turned on and turned off.
Yeah.
So that
That is particularly useful when you have a lot of stuff in the car, right? And you can't see out the back through a traditional rearview mirror.
I find between when you're loaded up with a lot of loot, hopefully good loot, or the weather. When it's raining,
good point.
I much prefer putting the digital rearview mirror on because it seems to take that out and I can just focus. But again, easily turned on and turned off. So while there's a lot of screens, the intention was to make it very simply customizable so that nobody feels it as a distraction and it's just giving them what they want.
Let's talk about platform. I mean, this has a dedicated platform, right? I mean, and going to be used in the future beyond this vehicle. Tell us about that.
Super exciting that part of the major shift we made when we became Stellantis was creating these dedicated platforms that were very, very efficient, that could be utilized for a lot of programs. And this one very specifically, multi-energy. It can have a transversal versus a longitudinal driveline. It can be battery electric with multiple...
So you're talking various internal combustion engine
and
types.
And then engines?
Yeah.
Internal combustion engines and even a hybrid. And then all the different top hats that we can put on it. You'll see in the future...
That different body styles.
Different body styles. You can go from a coupe to a midsize SUV, as you just saw, to a larger SUV. So it's so flexible and yet designed with such purpose that it really gives the foundation and the stability to the car. And hopefully you got a chance to experience that today when you drove it. The way you feel planted, the way you feel in control, a lot of that is because of the platform.
Yeah, you feel planted, but at the same time, I mean, one of the things I've always noticed about electric vehicles is you feel the weight. These are heavy vehicles. I mean, they're necessarily heavy because battery packs are heavy,
yes,
right?
Yes, they are.
And so it's going to be significantly heavier, maybe, I don't know, 1,000 pounds, 800 pounds heavier than an internal combustion engine vehicle. It's hard to disguise that, but you did a pretty good job of that in this vehicle. Tell us how you did that.
Again, I'll go back to it's the efficiency of the platform, where the battery is slung, lowering the center of gravity, so that even though it's a heavy car, and especially when you put the two electric drive motors in, heavy, but with lower center gravity and more power, it really intended. And the 50-50 split in terms of both weight and torque helps to keep it feeling very nimble.
Yeah, and it does that. It does that. Oh, yeah. And cargo space is important in this type of vehicle. Tell us about that.
So, again, multiple areas. We're going to talk about, as I mentioned earlier, up front for the driver and the passenger. By putting the wireless charger where we did, it opened up a lot of storage up front, where often that's where the wireless chargers go. So even just the basics of where you're going to put whatever you get into the car with. Lots of space between the front occupants and the rear occupants. When you get in, you feel like you've got the room. And then coming to the storage area or into the cargo area, again, we had that balance of we wanted a car that was very aerodynamic. I mean, this is, we're pushing for a lot of range. It's an electric car. You want it to have range. And at the same time, maximize. So when you do open that lift gate, you can get in the items that you want to be able to take into a midsize SUV.
One thing I don't think we hit was range. Can you give us a quick
It's 303 miles of range on this vehicle.
Yeah. One of my favorite things is a range that starts with the number three.
Yeah. We also wanted to make sure that was what we delivered on.
Perfect. Well, Allison Ram, thanks so much for talking to us. We do appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us today and letting us share our experience with you.
My
so
pleasure.
Thank you.
My pleasure. And stay with us, everybody. We'll be right back right here on America on the Road.
Looking for a cruise vacation? Cruise.com is offering its exclusive sale of the year to all listeners to this station. Every major cruise line, including Royal Caribbean, Carnival, Princess, MSC, and more, are on sale now. Call 1-800-430-7924 and book one of these deals while supplies last. Cruises start from as low as $39 per person per day. There isn't a better vacation value to places like Alaska, Europe, the Caribbean, South America, America, and more. Call one of the largest cruise specialists in the world at 1-800-430-7924. We'll find you a vacation that includes drinks, Wi-Fi, excursions, and more. Call 1-800-430-7924. Again, that's 1-800-430-7924. Space is limited. Don't miss your opportunity to book the best deal of the year. That's 1-800-430-7924. Sponsored by Cruise.com.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road with co-host Chris Teague. This is Jack Nierad back with you, and it is listener question time. We love to get your listener questions, love to hear your comments about America on the Road, so please send them to us at editor@drivingtoday.com. That's editor@drivingtoday.com. And let's dive into this question, because I think it's a good one from Wilson in Omaha, Nebraska. Basically about tires, and I know you do a lot of tire testing, Chris. It's how do different tire types affect fuel efficiency and handling? They have a big effect a lot of times, don't they?
They do. I think, you know, the fuel efficiency thing, I would relate more to like hybrids and plug-in hybrids, where you see the low rolling resistance tires, which reduce friction and heat and all those things. But, you know, in terms of handling, you've got summer tires, you've got all season tires, and you have winter tires, and then there are a bunch of other ones kind of in between all of those things. The summer tires are made of a softer rubber compound that grip the road. You may also see these as like performance tires, like Michelin Pilot Sports and things like that. They grip the road better. They're good in wet, but they're not able to withstand cold weather. They can crack and they don't provide the best traction. Winter tires are the exact opposite. They're built for colder temperatures. The rubber compound stays soft when it gets really cold outside, and they have special treads that can bite into the snow and the ice. And then, you know, you have off-road tires as well, which are probably the worst for fuel economy just because of their design. But they're also made for, you know, crawling over rocks and gripping into dirt, and not necessarily the best performance on pavement.
And they're very well engineered. I mean, a lot of people look at tires and go, it's just black round rubber, but there's a lot of engineering that goes into each of those tires. So the right tire for the right situation is very, very useful. And I think you find that out where you live even more so than I do here.
It's a hassle, but two sets of tires make my life much easier here.
Yeah, well, there you go. Well, that wraps up our show for this week. If you like America on the Road, please pass it on to others. Listen on this radio station each week. Let your friends know where you hear America on the Road. America on the Road is also available as a podcast.
We're very easy to find. A quick Google search for the America on the Road podcast will bring us to you on all the major platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, as well as our video podcasts on YouTube, Rumble, and the others. Like us, download us, leave a comment if you're able.
Yes, we'd love it if you'd subscribe to our YouTube and Rumble
channels. So you see a lot of very cool vehicles there. And we would appreciate you doing that. Our thanks to our Sports Byline Network stations for carrying America on the road. That is much appreciated. Most of all, thanks to you for listening. We know you have a lot of choices, so the fact that you've chosen to listen to us really honors us. We appreciate that, and we hope you join us again next time for another edition of America on the Road.
You're listening to the Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network.